by Mike and is carrying on as Mike would have wanted every Sunday at 9, sharing her real estate knowledge, tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Allison and her guest experts. And now, her class is always half full. Here's Allison Norman.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Sunday. It is Allison Norman, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, and we're playing Facebook Live. We're videoing. Actually, we too. I have Keith Becker here, Dee Dee's Rental. Thank you,
Keith. Hi, Allison.
And Keith brought his tripod. I've got mine, and we're Facebook Live on both your page,
my personal page.
Okay, so, and then on Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour, the Facebook page,
which is the important
well, we should, and I don't even know the way I have it set up. We were scurrying to get it done. You were more prepared than I was. My tripod was having issues, so you may or may not be able to see us on Facebook Live, but probably with Keith's. If you go to Keith Becker's page,
is your Keith T. Becker.
Okay, yeah. Is it a public page?
Kind
of your open.
Make it public. If it survives,
right. If
I'll
mine
make
doesn't work, we'll make sure that you. I'll get his onto the Facebook page. Anyway, so you know, technology happens. We have a ton of stuff to talk about. So we're going to dive right in. But before that, I have a very important that I want to make sure I get out. I have a new listing, brand new, first of the year. I'm seeing a lot of stuff come up. So that's good news. People were really waiting for that beginning of the year to put their houses on the market. So we are seeing some stuff. But I have something coming up. It's not quite ready to show. But if you want to get in a little early, I can let you know about it. It's on Moonview Court, which is off of Jennings and Marlow Road.
Oh, okay.
Nice single-level home. They just put some fresh paint. They've been cleaning up. Really nice paint job. They picked a very nice color. So it's always good to see. Just a really clean kind of entry-level property. It's listed at 525, three-bedroom, two-bath. Almost 7,000 square foot lot.
When was it built?
1968. So it's that, you know, that older little subdivision there off of Jennings, right off of Marlow Road in Jennings. And it's called Moonview Court. And I'll give you more details next week. But if anybody has a burning desire to see it sooner, I may be able to get you in there. So you can always call me directly, 799-3617. But great, and great for an investor too. And we are, since we're talking with a property manager today, you know, I think it would make a great rental. So I think a lot of people have, you know, at the beginning of the year, they start thinking about, you know, passive income, and maybe we should add some investment properties as part of that, which I think is a great idea. So anyway.
So here we are. It is the beginning of the year, and what a year it's going to be.
What a year it's going to be. So Keith Becker, Dee Dee's Rental, you've been with Dee Dee's Rental forever.
25 years.
25 years, and helping, you know, property owners to put tenants into properties. And then, so you're kind of a property management is typically on that side of it, right? So you're representing the seller. The homeowner.
That's okay. In some ways, I try my best to describe my role as a housing advocate, okay? Meaning that to some measure, there's this balance where the landlord, the housing provider has rights, the tenant has rights, and those have to balance. I'm never going to find myself in a situation where I am so terribly skewing it that the landlord has all the power and the tenant has none, because that's not good.
Right.
Likewise, the idea of having the tenant have all the power and none for the landlord is also not good. So it's finding that right balance between the two.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you do a good job of that.
I try.
So, and of keeping very much in the know as to what's going on. And we got hit with just a slew of what you called an alphabet soup.
It is.
And what I posted on the Facebook, I put the fire hose in the face.
Nice picture, by
which,
the way.
It's like sometimes, I mean, so we're going to hit you all with a ton of information, and I'll follow it up with some print, really kind of explaining in more detail each of these laws. But there's some, and you talked about, you know, affecting, you know, the tenant having too much rights or the landlord, you know, preserving homeowner rights, which is we try to do in real estate is we're usually lean on the side of homeowner rights mm-hmm. when it comes to it. But there, tenant rights are very important. But so before we dive into that, there's something very much in the news right now, and I wanted to touch on it, and we talked about it briefly, is what's going on in Oakland with that.
Okay, let's just pull the... Allison, just pull the
let's
pin.
Let's turn on the fire hose.
Yeah, exactly. Pull the pin out of the grenade.
Okay, so they're in the in as squatters, as they're being called. And there's two different, I mean, there's squatters as a tenant, and then there's a whole other thing of squatters as far as living on a piece of land and paying property taxes and all of that. That then now the house is yours, but it's different, I think, when it comes to tenant. How does that work, and how do these people have the right to just move into a vacant house?
And
not be kicked out.
Yeah. Just toss the grenade on the table there, Allison.
There
okay. First thing, and I think that I have to think there are three different aspects to this. One, homelessness and housing, while you may think that there's sort of an alignment between the two, the skills, the knowledge, the experience that make me proficient as a housing provider, those are not the same sort of knowledge, skills, and experience necessary in order to basically be able to deal with the complexity of homelessness and solving homelessness. Mm-hmm. There are injunctions. There's the Boise injunction, Vannucci injunction, which basically limit what the Board of Supervisors, City Council, anybody can actually do in order to solve homelessness. And there's not one profile, okay? There's not one type of homeless person.
Right.
Different people, different circumstances. So it's a really complex situation in terms of how do you deal with homelessness. Second of those three issues is the fact that as a culture, mm-hmm. we have a tendency to, even for those of us who are not really religious, we have a tendency to embrace the concept of Christmas and the, you know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember years ago, and this is going back 20 years or so, and I had an eviction, and the eviction was right around Christmas, and the judge had told me at that time, I do not want to do this 2 weeks before Christmas.
Mm.
And you had a judge in Oakland who is trying to address a very complex situation right in the run-up to the holiday season.
Right.
And if he had at that point basically just cracked the hammer down and said, no, get out, mm-hmm. It would have been a caricature of Ebenezer Scrooge, okay? Mm-hmm. Nobody really wants to go into that sort of caricature.
Right. That, a lot of backlash with
that. The stories that would have... You've read all the stories. Imagine how much worse they would have been when you basically have this judge being pilloried as Oakland's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Right, right.
Now,
so just to preface it real quick, if somebody hasn't heard the story, it's a group of women or a couple of women that moved into this vacant
house. With children,
and because they couldn't find a place to live anywhere, they didn't want their kids to be out on the street, so they just found this vacant house and they moved in. And I think they started this group of moms for housing or something.
I'm not sure exactly how the support came behind it.
Right. So the judge was brought in. The judge delayed it, basically, didn't he? He didn't say you can stay, but he also didn't say you have to get out.
I think that he basically punted it to get it past the holiday season.
Okay.
However, all of that buildup, if the judge in this case were to find in favor of these women, children, the groups that are supporting them, mm-hmm. it would be catastrophic for Oakland. It would be catastrophic for Oakland's sale and rental market because every vacant property would require a guard.
Yeah.
You basically
right. Everyone's
no
gonna say,
vacant
oh, well,
property
they can do it.
Would be safe.
Yeah.
Secondly, you're a real estate sales agent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a property manager. We would not be able to advertise any of our properties that are available for rent because if you advertise them, you give an address, you are basically saying this is a property for which there is no one in residence.
Right.
It would be fundamentally disastrous.
Yeah.
So I can't see how in protecting an owner's interests in a rent in property that they own. I can't see how they could possibly vote in favor. The judge could find in favor of the squatters. Mm-hmm. However, this is California. Weirder things have happened.
So we'll have to stay tuned. But in a normal situation, and we're going to need to take a break, but in a normal situation, if somebody just moves into a vacant house, do you now have to evict them through the whole eviction process, or can you just say, hey, get out of here?
That's a gray area because, again, going back many, many years, again, this is nearly 20 years ago, I did have somebody who thought that they were moving into a property, and I heard about it within a matter of hours. Mm-hmm. And I showed up, and they were there, and I was basically, you know what? You need to take this stuff away. Out.
Yeah, you're trespassing.
If it passes a certain point, the police will not consider them squatters. They will consider that they have tenancy rights and you have to go through the eviction process.
Okay.
It's a gray area.
It is. And I think the important thing is keeping an eye on your property, whether that's a property manager. Because like you said, within a matter of hours or a day, you know, I think if they've moved in, they've started utilities and put, you mm-hmm. know, moved everything in. Now they're establishing residence. So, mm-hmm. really important to either have a great property manager or you know, if you live local, keep an eye on that vacant property.
Yeah.
Or if you're a realtor and you've got a vacant property.
Have a realtor who's keeping
a close
eye.
On it. Keep an eye on it. So I think that's the lesson here. And we'll stay tuned and see what I think is a tough spot that Oakland is in. We're going to take a break. I am Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. And we're here with Keith Becker, Dede's Rentals. We're going to dive into all of the new laws affecting rentals. It's a lot. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Christine Pelosi, rear-ended on the show. United States. Well, everything okay?
Yeah, we're okay. Someone hit me from behind, but we're okay.
Yeah, Mike, asking, are we liable? No!
Live and local, Steve Jackson on The Drive. Afternoons on KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams fits the bill.
It's my honor to work with first-time homebuyers, helping them make ownership in the North Bay a reality. It's important to me to get veterans, active military, young families, and single moms into stable homes right here in our community. I have extensive experience with FHA and VA buyers and how to work the ins and outs of getting your offer accepted.
Allison is involved in giving back in our community, too.
I've adopted a care, serve, give business practice, allowing me to give back to the communities I serve and the causes most important to my clients. Through Care, Serve, Give, I donate a charity you select at the close of every escrow.
Call Allison at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
Traffic on the fives. Weather six times an hour. Sonoma County's Morning News with Pat Kerrigan on FM News Talk, KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning. We're back. It's Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour here every Sunday morning on KSRO from 9 to 10. I'm Allison Norman. I'm here with Keith Becker, and I'm talking really fast because we have a lot of stuff.
I hope we have enough time.
We're gonna and if not, don't take notes because we're gonna post all of this information on the Facebook page, which is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. You can also go back and look at the podcast, which is at ksro.com. You go to shows, you go to Ask the Expert, and then you go to find Allison Norman / Real Estate. You'll find the podcast there shortly after the show, and then so you can listen again if you missed some stuff. And then both Keith and I are posting on Facebook Live. So
dueling videos.
Dual videos. We'll see whose is better. Which angle? Oh, good. I was sitting off in the corner, apparently. So here I am. Hi, Facebook Live. So let's dive right in. Keith.
Well, beforehand, let's just point something out. If somebody wants to ask a question.
Yes.
Call.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we decided that we're not going to we'll take calls. 707-636-1350, mm-hmm. 636-1350. Joe is going to take your question if you have one, and then we're not going to put you on the air because, like I said, it's a really tight show, and I think that's a great way to handle it, and thank you for reminding me. Mm-hmm. So if you have a question, absolutely call in. If we can get to it, we will. But it's just going to slow us down too much if we take a call that drags on. So I hope that doesn't offend anyone.
I drag on enough, thank you.
Okay, so let's dive in. AB 1110.
Okay, AB 1110. Actually, and I did my preparation, and you've got a copy of it. And to some measure, this works its way from simplest to more complex.
Okay.
AB 1110 is almost something that you, as a housing provider in California, can disregard. Because AB 1110, it used to be that if you're going to raise the rent by more than 10%, you have to give a 60-day notice. Okay. AB 1110 changes the law to say you must now give a 90-day notice if you're going to raise the rent by more than 10%.
Okay.
However, nobody in Sonoma County, for at least the next year, is going to be permitted to raise the rent by more than 10% anyway.
Right, because of
that,
another law.
So when I come back in 2021, we'll talk about AB 1110 at that point, and maybe it will be effective.
Then it'll be an issue.
At this point, put that one aside.
Okay, moving on quickly then. So that one, if you want more information, we'll put that on the Facebook page. AB 1188.
Here we were talking about Oakland and homelessness. AB 1188 is one of 13 different legislative bills that Governor Newsom passed that are designed or intended to address homelessness in one fashion or another. AB 1188 allows a resident and the homeowner to jointly agree to change the terms of a lease. And our lease is basically say, you know, Joe and Mary and their two kids are residing in the property and there are no permitted alterations, subtenancies, assignments. Mm-hmm. This will allow the landlord and the tenant together to agree to change the contract and allow someone who might be at risk of homelessness
to come in. I remember hearing about this one when it was...
It is, it gives the resident, the tenant, certain rights to remove that individual on a faster pace than a normal eviction would allow or require.
Okay.
It arguably allows the landlord, the owner, to increase the rent to compensate for the fact that this alteration has been addressed. But it does say that the clause basically says that it is largely governed by existing landlord-tenant law. And as we talk about these other existing landlord-tenant laws, AB 1188 says you can raise the rent. Let's see how that actually works out. Right. Now, the thing about this is... any housing provider who may hear about this and think, wait a second, so the tenant can just move someone in unilaterally? Yeah, the answer is no. Right. It is a joint decision and a joint agreement between the landlord and the resident.
Right, and I think that's a really important note. That people were kind of up in arms about this, and it's like, but it's not, they're just not moving somebody in.
Correct.
It has to be an agreement.
That is
and
correct.
And even the rent increase. They can say, okay, yes, you can do this, but I'm going to raise your rent, and the person can say, okay, fine.
Let's see how that part plays out.
If it doesn't go over this other thing. So that's AB 1188. Was that pretty much it? Or is there more?
That's a good summary of that one.
Yeah, and that's somebody that's at risk. And how what's the proof? How do you prove or is there a proof required to say they're at burden, at the risk of being homeless?
I don't know the answer to that.
And does it really matter? Anybody at any point could be at risk.
I suspect it does, and I do looking back in retroactive, both in terms of the Tubbs fire and the Kincaid fire, we at Dede's told all of our tenants that temporarily, if somebody's been displaced as a result of this disaster, our residents can temporarily bring someone in and allow them to have a roof over their head so that they did not find themselves sleeping in a hotel or at the armory or under a bridge. Right. And I think that this is designed to have the same sort of concept. It only runs through 2024. This actually does have a sunset. It's a four-year policy.
Okay, and they're hoping we'll have all this fixed by then.
Oh, good luck.
Good luck. Okay, so that's AB 1188, Temporary Homeless Support. So moving on, SB 644, Military SD. What is
security deposits.
Ah,
okay. The recognition that those people who are in active military are already putting so much on the line. What can we as a community do to support or assist them? SB 644 basically states that for active military, and active military is Army, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, Air Force, and Space Force. It does. it now includes Space Force. Oh. But these are active military. Okay. Active military does not include reserve. Active military does not include National Guard or Merchant Marines. Okay, it includes those six active military. Okay. But if you are active military, the housing provider, the owner, may not charge an amount for security deposit that exceeds one times the rent. So if the rent is $2,000, the security deposit is $2,000. Presumably that is everything all folded together. And I know that owners, some owners say, okay, well, I've got a pet deposit of this and I've got a key deposit of that. It's like, that is all of it. One time the rent. If it's a furnished property, it's two times the rent.
Okay.
Now,
for the normal renter, is it two
normal
times,
renters,
right?
It is double that. Okay. It is two times the rent for an unfurnished property and three times the rent for furnished, and you can bump it up for based upon water beds.
Okay.
Now,
and pets.
There are some
you can't bump it.
Not for pets.
If you've got
pet deposits, they still have to fall within whatever
those
max capacities are.
Okay, that's good to know.
Now, what's interesting about the military security deposit? One, it applies to active military. And there, let's see, it applies to spouse, domestic partner, parent, or dependent. Okay? Kids, wife, husband, domestic partner, your folks who are living with you. It does not apply to roommates.
Okay.
Now, this is where it gets interesting because marital status and familial status are both protected classes in California. So never, for years, have we ever asked what the relationship is between individuals who are applying together. Because we presume any group of individuals who are applying together are their own household.
Right.
For familial status, you guys are in this together, go. In this instance, it's entirely conceivable that we find ourselves having to ask, in order to make sure we've got this proper, we find ourselves having to ask what the relationship is between the active military applicant and those others that they are applying with. Because if there is someone who is not related to them under these circumstances, it no longer applies.
Yeah.
Furthermore, there's an allowance that basically if the applicant has a history of damaging the property or if they've got poor credit, then this doesn't apply. That's also a landmines because how do you get there? You know, how do you make that determination?
Yeah.
So
tricky. That's why it's good to have a good property manager.
We're going to see how this plays out. There's going to have to be. We're going to be learning by doing as all of these new laws go into effect.
Yeah.
We're going to be trying to figure it out. Yeah, we're going to be trying to work on the motor of the bus at the same time we're driving the bus.
Yeah, nice. Okay, it should be fun, right? We're gonna take a break. I'm with Keith Becker, DD's Rentals, and I'm Allison Norman. This is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman. We're gonna go to the news, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned for more real estate rental laws.
Join the switch to crystal clear KSRO-FM, 103.5 Santa Rosa, Windsor, 94.5 Petaluma. Hear the difference.
The U.S. strike that killed Iranian leader Qasem Soleimani in Baghdad was intended to prevent war, according to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
We're taking the actions that we need to take to protect American interests, not only in Baghdad and in Iraq, but throughout the region.
It was on ABC's This Week, but the Iraqi parliament passed a non-binding resolution to expel U.S. troops from Iraq. The U.S. also said they're pausing the mission to fight ISIS in order to protect bases that house coalition members. Soleimani being mourned today in Iran, where the country's parliament met.
Oh, Trump.
Its speaker saying President Trump committed a big crime. Iran has vowed revenge. Five people were killed, dozens hurt after a crash involving a passenger bus and several other vehicles, including tractor trailers, on the Pennsylvania Turnpike about 30 miles east of Pittsburgh. One of the two prisoners who escaped Parchman Prison in Mississippi is back in custody. Three inmates have been killed at Parchman in violence in the last week, five in the state. Brian Clark, ABC News.
KSRO.
Real estate in the North Bay is as diverse as its residents. From young families to retirees, new construction to rebuilds, you want a real estate professional that knows the region and can get you what you want with the least amount of hassle. Allison Norman of Keller Williams Realty fits the bill.
My philosophy is twofold. One, my clients come first. Two, I strive to stay ahead of the curve with technology training and local market news and information. I grew up in Marin County, then moved to Sonoma County and raised my four children. When I started my career in 2006, I was fortunate to be mentored by my late friend, Mike Kelly. I've successfully helped hundreds of families in the entire North Bay with their real estate needs. And with my Keller Williams network across the country, I can help with relocations as well.
And now, Allison continues the tradition and hosts the Mike Kelly Real Estate Hour every Sunday morning from 9 to 10.
Call me at 707-799-3617. Online at allisonnorman.kw.com.
With Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast, here's Daniel Trucios on the KSRO Weather Watch.
Sunny skies to start off the week. Today, a high of 57, 55 along the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 34, 39 on the shores. Blue skies for Monday at 61, 56 in Bodega Bay. Some clouds do come in on Tuesday at 56, 54 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Welcome back to Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman on KSRO. Now, here's more with Allison.
Good morning, we're back. It is Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman here every Sunday morning on KSRO. And I'm here this morning talking really fast because we have a lot to talk about. I'm here with Keith Becker, Didi's Rental. Really, anytime I have any question about what's going on with the new laws affecting rentals and property owners and investors and property management and all of that, I turn to Keith because
I love to talk.
You love to know. You love to be in the know and to keep yourself informed. And I
find this stuff fascinating.
Yeah, and it is, and it's good for a lot of us, and a lot of people listening. You may be totally overwhelmed with all of this, but it's important, and it does affect not just investors and property owners that have rentals, but real estate in general. It affects it because that's a portion of the buyer pool, really, is investors, and it just affects everything. So it's good to know about all of this. We're going to dive back in. We've been talking about, so these are all the new laws, 2020, January 1st, that went into effect. And there was a lot of talk about it last year as they were working through it. And these are all the ones that actually are in effect now.
And some of them are seemingly a surprise. They sprung up on people, and people are, and both housing providers and residents are like, wait, what?
What?
Unclear on what they are, unclear on what they mean.
Right. So we're gonna try and explain that with the time that we have left. We have a half an hour, a little bit less than a half an hour to talk you through this. Just real quick, the phones, if you want to call, we're going to take questions off the air. Joe will write down your question, send it over to us, and we can answer it online, on air, without taking up too much time out of all of the stuff we need to talk about. So that number is 707-636-1350. If you have a specific question, Joe will take it, and we'll see if we can fit it in. And then Keith Becker on our podcast and Facebook Live and all of that will put your contact information.
Sure.
Somebody can call you with a direct question.
If somebody's got a question, I'd be glad
and,
to help.
And I'm going to post all of this handy information.
I want to make sure everybody knows, though. I'm not an attorney.
Exactly.
None of this is legal advice.
You are a property manager.
I am a property manager. Not tooting my own horn. I consider myself a good property manager, but I would be a lousy attorney. So none of this is none of this is legal advice. And if you got complicated questions, talk to your attorney.
Talk to your attorney.
You need an attorney? Call me. I know some very good ones.
Yeah, good. Okay. And as do I. There's some good ones out there that can answer this. And like, yeah, we always preface anything in real estate, we're not a professional. So,
I most certainly am a professional. Just
I mean, not a professional. I'm sorry. I said that totally wrong. We're not a professional. We're not an attorney. We're not a tax advisor. We're not an insurance person.
I'm not a CPA, exactly. We're,
right. We are, in real estate, we are professional. So let's dive in. So Section 8, this is SB 329 and there was a lot of kind of uproar and back and forth and controversy in
this
one.
Did you hear me sigh?
I did. It was a big sigh. So Section 8, and nothing against Section 8.
No.
But what we didn't like about this, and now it's here, so we have to deal with it, is that it's a force to Section 8.
It used to be at an owner's discretion mm-hmm. whether or not they were willing to participate in the program. And when it was at the owner's discretion whether they were willing to participate, you as the owner, housing provider, had the ability to sort of work with the program in your own sort of let me just say, as a housing provider, whether you are a property manager or whether you are an independent owner, you should have a set policy for how you handle applicants, and you should always abide by it. And it should be the same approach for each and every resident. Mm-hmm. Okay? Being required to accept HUD, VASH, Section 8, whatever you might call it, a government subsidized program, sort of puts this other avenue. You've got one policy, and then you've got this other thing that you're trying to, you're trying to take a zebra and turn mm-hmm. it into a horse. Mm-hmm. Having said that, it is now the law. It used to be at an owner's discretion. Now it is the law. You must consider it. You may not, dear housing owners, and I'm going to say, do not mess with this one. Do not mm-hmm. try to play smoke and mirrors and work your way around it and say, we'll just fudge it.
Right.
Don't. Mm-hmm. Don't advertise saying no Section 8
right.
in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Somebody calls you and says, hi, will you consider Section 8? You want to make sure that you come up with a standardized answer. Mm-hmm. We will accept for review any qualified applicant who has all of the necessary documentation for us to be able to seriously consider them. Something that basically is, we treat Section 8 applicants just as we would any other.
Right.
Now, the challenge, however, is, and now I'm talking about from my own experience, okay? Mm-hmm. An applicant who is applying for one of our properties has to have 3 times the amount of the rent as provable income.
Right.
And when they turn in their application, the application has to be filled out in its entirety. And not only that, but if they got a $2,000 property, and they have to be able to prove, and it's bundled among all the applicants, they have to be able to prove 3 times that, so $6,000. Housing basically says, we, the program, are going to contribute a certain amount of that $2,000. Mm-hmm. Historically, this all went backward, meaning that the applicant would come to us, is the owner willing to consider Section 8 on this property? Yes. Fine, let's fill out the initial paperwork, take it back to HUD. HUD will then tell us how much they're prepared to contribute. Then we ask the tenant to prove their share of that. Mm-hmm. We're getting into the weeds. Okay, forgive me. I realize that. But it was all backwards. We can't do it backwards now because now it's treating HUD applicants differently than we would anyone else. Mm-hmm. I've been in contact with both the city and county housing authorities. And I think that it's going to be possible that these organizations, city and county housing, will be able to provide upfront for their participants, this applicant is qualified for a $2,000 property, and the program will contribute somewhere between, let's just say, $200 and $600. Reverse that. The program will pay everything except for a range of $200, $600.
Okay.
If these organizations, city, county housing, were able to give me that, as a basis, mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay, good. You are on the same starting gate as anybody else who's submitting an application, because if the program has said that they will pay $1,400 of your rent, then all I need to be able to do is have you substantiate that you make $2,400 a month.
Right. Three times what the balance is.
Three times what
right?
their share right. is. And do realize this. If you're a housing provider, what your HUD applicant has to be able to prove is three times their share of the monthly rent, which is why it's critical that HUD be able to say, this is how much we're going to pay.
Right. Every month, guaranteed.
Every month, guaranteed.
Okay.
Do realize that there are programs like Rapid Rehousing, which don't fit into this same scenario. You mm-hmm. got somebody who's on Rapid Rehousing, call your attorney. Call me. I'll do my best to help. Mm-hmm. But Rapid Rehousing is a program where basically they'll pay the first month in full, the second month 50%, the third month 20% or something like that. Okay. And by about the fourth or fifth month, the program has been weaned off entirely. So that's a different
scenario.
It gets very tricky. This is entirely very tricky.
Okay.
But it is one of the more challenging situations because do you know the concept of testers?
No. Well, I don't. In what context?
Imagine that you're being mm-hmm. tested. Mm-hmm. Imagine that basically somebody walks into your office.
Oh, yeah.
And basically,
like a secret shopper.
yes. Okay. But this is a secret shopper who can sue you.
Yeah.
It is entirely possible that as this new ordinance, as this new law is instituted, there will be testers who will be seeing how you respond when somebody calls and says, will you consider HUD? And what you were permitted to say on December 5th is no longer the same as what you're permitted to say on January 5th.
Right. And it should be something like, well, we accept any, you know, we'll look, consider any application.
Correct. And you still have the ability to have set standardized criteria for credit scores, set standardized criteria for employment right. history, tenancy history, those other things that you
yeah.
would. But the criteria that you have for a HUD tenant should be the same criteria that you would have for any other
else.
Tenant. You can't say a 600 credit score for anybody else, but a 700 credit score for a HUD tenant.
Yeah.
That is discrimination.
Right. So, okay, good. And thanks for clarifying all of that. So, that, and basically, so Section 8, so they can't say, we can't discriminate about where they're getting their money from.
That's
basically
correct.
What this law says. But the other thing, the piece of it is that Section 8 is very, it's a program that you're now being required to buy into.
Correct.
Where there are inspections and
there are inspections on a periodic – there are inspections on a periodic basis, and there are inspections necessary in order to even be able to get the ball rolling. And there have been people who have said, you know, I can say that I'm not going to accept Section 8 because it takes them too long to do their initial inspections. Don't use that as an argument.
Okay.
It doesn't fly. It won't fly. It will get you in trouble.
Okay. So tricky situation, but yeah, be careful.
Be very careful.
You know.
Yep. If somebody calls and asks questions about your willingness to consider Section 8 and you're not entirely sure how to respond, take the information, take their name, take their phone number, say, hey, listen, I will call you right back. Make sure you do call them back, because if you take their name, phone number, and don't call them back, you're going to get yourself in trouble. But
right.
if then call Allison, call the attorney, call me, call somebody to make sure that you know what you're supposed to be saying and make sure how to keep yourself out of trouble.
Right. Good. Important advice always. Okay. So we'll move on from that. If anybody has specific questions about that, you can reach out to Keith directly or me. Do you want to give your phone
My office phone number is 707-523-4500.
Okay, and that's Dee Dee's Rentals.
Or you can email me, and I can tell you that emailing is usually easier than phone calling because my schedule is unpredictable.
Well,
email me, Keith, K-E-I-T-H, at DeeDeesRentals.com.
And it's
DeeDeesRentals.
Okay, .com. Okay. And somebody has a quick question. Sandy in Guerneville, if somebody's renting part of the home, would the same rules apply? I'm assuming this is about the Section 8 that we were just talking about. So if you're renting a room or a portion of your home are you required to take Section 8?
I don't believe so, but I'm not telling you that I have a conclusive answer on that.
Okay.
I don't do.
If it's just a room, it's different.
I don't do roommate rental scenarios, so I'm not as familiar with those types of laws.
Yeah.
I have to admit.
No.
That.
Okay. And thank you for that. And.
Hey, Allison, what time is it?
It's quarter till.
You know, we're not going to get to AB 1482.
Well, let's just get... Well, do we want to talk about 1482 or...
We need to talk about PC
386. Yeah, let's talk... And we'll just... We've got 15 minutes. Let's see what we can do. Okay. So PC 396 is the anti-gouging law that went into effect January 1st as the rest of these. So what is... does this have to do with the fires?
Allison, I am increasingly frustrated by this. I am increasingly frustrated by this in particular because on December 23rd, Merry Christmas, Gavin Newsom signed an executive order extending PC 396 for a full year through December 31st of the year 2020. Mm-hmm. He signed it and it is still in effect for Sonoma, Butte, Los Angeles, Mendocino, Napa, Santa Barbara, and Ventura. Now, if you actually look at each one of these, you will realize that each one of them suffered a fire, maybe 2019, some of them in 2018, very, very few in 2017, mm-hmm. but Sonoma County is one of those 2017.
Right.
We're into the third year of having PC 396 limit what we're allowed to do in terms of rent increases for existing tenants and vacancy decontrol.
Okay.
Newsom's argument for this is that many rebuilding permits had been submitted but haven't been approved. Furthermore, law enforcement agencies have had to resolve criminal liability cases for price gouging activity. And this is where I get into opinion, and this is where I get into my soapbox. Nearly 2,700 lots burned in the Tubbs fire. Mm-hmm. Of those, almost three quarters are in the rebuild process, somewhere between permits having been pulled and residents moving back in.
Right.
Almost a half of them are under construction. If they're under construction, the residents are moving back in fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. Of that 25% that is not in any sort of rebuild process, most of those are in Fountain Grove because Fountain Grove has very unique engineering complications, both because of the hillside locations, because of the infrastructure issues, because of the fact that it is in that, whatever they call it, the berm, the wilderness suburban interface. Mm-hmm. It burned twice. Right. The insurance companies are not happy about this.
Yeah, we're having a hard time with that.
But Fountain Grove is not a measurable portion of the rental market and never has been. Mm-hmm. That is not a rental area. So the idea of arguing that we need anti-gouging ordinances to protect renters in Fountain Grove is foolish. Furthermore, the city, in more than 2 years, has not prosecuted one anti-gouging investigation. The city has not done one. The county, a little bit more, maybe a half dozen criminal investigations, two civil investigations, prosecutions, and none of them have been recent. The fact is that Sonoma County housing providers and the whole permit, Resilient Santa Rosa, the permit department rocks. They have done an incredible job of bringing everybody back online.
Yeah.
Anti-gouging, the extension of PC 396 is contrary to the best interests of housing providers because what it said was that the rent cannot be raised by more than 10% over what it was on October 1st of 2017.
Yikes.
So what that means is if it lasts for only 1 year, that's a 10% increase over 1 year. If it lasts for 2 years, it's a 5% per year increase. We're now into 3 years, which basically means it's 3 1/3 increase, which basically means that we are just barely keeping pace with CPI. It's unjust. Having said that, it's the law of the land.
Right.
Okay. If you've already raised your rent by 10% more on an existing tenant over what it was as of October 1st, 2017, for practical purposes, you are likely locked in. Okay, now, I've been on your show repeatedly, and previously I was wary of talking about this exclusion to PC 396, but since it is basically common knowledge, I'm going to point it out. PC 396 does not apply to any properties that have an initial lease term of more than 1 year. So if you have a contract that is, let's just say a tenant moves in as of January 1st and their lease extends through January 31st of 2021, that's 13 months. Mm-hmm. You would not be obligated to keep the rent artificially low. Okay?
Okay.
You can come to market value. Hmm. Now, what I'm going to tell you is don't mess around with that, okay? If you've got a property that's worth $2,000, price it at $2,000, price it fairly. Do not try to play games with this, because those are the types of articles that wind up, you know, getting housing providers in the newspaper and have us have targets on our backs.
Yeah.
But okay, there are some ways of working within the constraints of PC 396, but here we are, year three, and still.
Mm. So good to know, and definitely get more information on that if you need it. And so, we don't have time to cover it all, and I think it would be overwhelming anyway. But we've got 8 minutes to go. AB 1482, and what is it?
Let me cover what AB 1482 does not include. Okay. AB 1482 is actually the anti-gouging, is the rent control. It's called the Tenant Protection Act of 2019.
Right.
And effectively, AB 1482 is now the baseline. It is the basement for rent control throughout California. Mm-hmm. Under no circumstances will you find a city with a less restrictive a policy than AB 1482. Mm-hmm. However, you can find cities that have more restrictive. Okay,
right.
This is
where
simply
they have
the base.
A higher rent, like San Francisco.
Well, is, you have two components to this. One is the amount of rent that can be increased, and the other one is just cause. Under what circumstances can you remove a tenant? Mm-hmm. And then there's this third component, which basically is what properties are included and unincluded, okay? Mm-hmm. And you can find situations where AB 1482 applies, a city has an ordinance that is more restrictive, and when I say more restrictive, it means that it's more generous to tenants in one component, but less in another. For example, the city of Richmond has had a policy stating that rent increases may be only the amount of CPI. And for this year, it was like 3.3%. AB 1482 says increases can be 5% plus CPI. For Richmond, AB 1482 will not apply because Richmond's is more restrictive, therefore it applies.
Okay.
Richmond's policy also, however, says that it only applies to properties that were built before 1995. Mm-hmm. AB 1482, however, says that it applies to any property that is 15 years or older. So in that instance, Richmond's ordinance is sort of pushed aside. AB 1482 is the prevailing rule.
Okay.
Is that complicated enough?
Sure. No, it's not. Let's get more complicated.
Okay. Let's start with any property built within the last 15 years is not under the regulations of AB 1482, no matter whether it is a 25-unit building, a single-family residence, a duplex, or whatever.
So okay? Any new construction prior to the date today, but it's not a set-in-stone date, right?
Exactly. It's a rolling date. As a matter of fact,
so
I have a tenant who just moved into a house on Versailles, and it is a duplex. It is a single-family residence with a grand unit over the garage. It should fall under AB 1482. Mm-hmm. However, the first certificate of occupancy, and realize you should be writing this down. Certificate of occupancy matters. The certificate of occupancy was in the middle of 2006.
Okay.
The tenant just moved in. Okay. Their 15-year exclusion expires in July of 2021. So their first year of residency, they are not under the regulations of AB 1482. They stay there for more than a year, and suddenly, yes, they are.
Wow.
You need to know when the certificate of occupancy was established for your property. If it's anything in the realm anywhere near 15 years, plus or minus.
Right. So this is really important if you're buying, if you're purchasing a home.
Mm-hmm.
Important also to say it's not a home, it's a duplex.
Anything.
It's not a single family home, it's a duplex.
Anything. 15 years applies to anything.
Oh, really? Single family residence as
everybody.
Well?
Everybody.
Okay.
Okay.
Because they were just...
Oh, I'm going to get to, no,
okay.
The 15-year is sort of an umbrella and it covers everybody.
Okay.
Okay? Now, if we set the 15-year aside, your property built in 1968 on Moonview.
On Moonview, yeah.
Okay? Single family residence. It would be excluded. Single family residences and condos are excluded from AB 1482.
Okay. However.
However.
I feel a however.
There's
on.
Always a however. However, if you buy it as part of a REIT, a real estate investment trust.
Okay.
If you buy it and keep it in a corporation, it's held by a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
Or you buy it and it's held by an LLC and one of the members of the LLC is a corporation. It is not protected. It is under the auspices of rent control, even if it's a single family residences, even if it's a condo.
Okay. Okay? So it matters who is purchasing
it. It matters who it's purchasing and how it's held. One of my owners just called me to say, oh, by the way, I created it in I created an S-Corp to hold my company. I created an S-Corp to hold my condo. And I was like, why did you do that? Now I have to notify his tenant that his tenant's under rent control.
Oh, my gosh.
The third item, and wow. I think we may be getting close to how much we're going to be able to accomplish today.
Mm-hmm.
If you take one thing from this today, you may think that you have a single family residence, you have a condo, and it's not held by a corporation, and you're off the hook. You're not. By July 1st, let's just say July 1st because it's easier to remember that way.
Mm-hmm.
By July 1st, you need to notify your new or existing tenant that they are not under the auspices of rent control. And you have to use specific language, and it has to be written, and it has to be in 12-point font, and you have to be able to prove that you delivered it to the tenant. Okay, I will give you that information so that you can post it on.
Thank you. We'll do that
on the post because if you don't take anything else away, just because you think you've got a single family residence and you're off the hook, you're not. You need to do this.
That's huge. So any investor holding a property that they're going to be renting or they have a tenant in place,
mm-hmm.
they have to notify them that they're not under rent control
using very specific language.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a little scary. So
it's a well, imagine you got Aunt Velma and she's 78 years and she's had this house since 1962
mm-hmm.
and it's basically just something that takes care of itself and she doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to it.
Yeah. One
and she thinks everything's working just fine.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't provide this disclosure, it falls under rent control.
Wow.
So pay attention.
pay attention. Have a good property manager.
Yes.
Who can refer you to an attorney if you need to.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, and
we're not the only game in town. There are
a great
number of good property managers. So honestly, any one of them would be able to help you.
Okay. If you want to talk to Dee's, Keith at Dee's Rentals, quick phone number.
707-523-4500, keith@deedesrentals.com.
And it's DEDESRENTALS.
That is correct.
Okay, and I'm Allison Norman. This has been Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman, here with Keith Becker today, and we're out of time. I hope you were able to get all that information. Facebook Live, Mike Kelly's Real Estate Hour with Allison Norman will be posted there, ksro.com for the podcast. So lots of places to get information. I'll post all this written information about all of these new laws on the Facebook page as well. Thanks so much for joining us. We will see you next week. Thank you, Keith, for coming
Allison.
In. And gosh, we made it through. We didn't get it all, but we've made it through.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
The preceding was a paid presentation. This is Sonoma County's News Talk, K23 3CM Petaluma, K278 CD, KSRO Santa Rosa.
Explaining why it went ahead with a drone strike that